There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, welcome to Stacking Pennies. I'm Corey the Joy, and we're going to break down all things Martinsville. 40 years of Hendrick kicking ass at Martinsville. 1-2-3. They sweep the podium. Unbelievable day. Tough day for us. Loose wheel. We'll break down all things 7 and 12 and everything else that happened on the racetrack. The paperclip coming right up.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
All right, guys, we're in it. We are stacking pennies here. I'm Corey the Joy alongside Ryan Flores, front tire changer of Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang.
Hey, dude.
What's up?
I was trying to follow along yesterday. I saw you pit like right at the
coming to the green,
which is the worst time to pit. Would you guys have a loose wheel?
Well, we had a loose wheel. It was tight up against the drive pins. You know, it got stuck in there, tightened up, and then dropped. And then two caution laps, it ground the wheel down.
Oh, so it was pretty loose. If it ground the wheel
like
down,
I almost hit the loose. Like, I was like, oh, shoot. Flat tire. Luckily, I was right at pit road in, and I could bang a hard left. And I about knocked the wall down just at pit road speed because the thing would not turn. It got all over on the right front. I'm like, oh.
There was a lot of
lost a lap and a half there.
There was a lot of that yesterday. We'll cover more in Boats and Woes, but the 20 car did the same thing because their wheel come off, and we were in pit stall 41 down there, like right at the entrance. And when he come in, he was going slow, and about he hit the fence.
Like, oh yeah, you can't turn.
No, yeah.
But before all that, our weekend started pretty good.
P1 in practice, dog. Yeah.
You know, especially you sitting there and ruminate on the P last week at Richmond, just. Tough to overcome that. Had a lot of, you know, hard conversations just figuring out what all went into that to make that car not drive very well. We honed in on some front geometry that we missed and left front spring. So we felt like we were confident going into Martinsville. We've led some laps there. We finished well and qualified well. So we were in Group A, green racetrack, fired off. I think we were a little bit free relative to some other guys that were around, so we were able to lay a fast lapper off the bat, 20.01. So the car felt really good, little bit free, which is kind of what you expect on that green racetrack. Burns the right rear tire off a little bit, but just going from the old outhouse to the penthouse over the course of the week was nice, to be top of the board there. So we knew our car had some pretty good pace, so we worked on it a little bit, went to our qualifying. We rolled out fourth. So the problem is when you have a bad week, then it kind of snowballs and it starts this cycle of going out early on a rubbered up racetrack at a short track where it's hard to pass. So your bad run last week perpetuates your bad run for the next week, especially if you have two short tracks back to back. So we were third or fourth in the Group A to qualify. The track is just completely black with rubber from Group A practice, Group B practice, and you turn around and go back to Group A practice, and the first 8 or 9 cars pick up the rubber for everybody else.
Well, it picks up, especially on a concrete track, it picks up the rubber. The least amount of cars on the track pick it up. Let's just start from the basics. Just to anybody that doesn't understand, green track is faster than rubbered up racetrack. The more rubber you put down, the cars on top of the rubber don't have as much grip. They slide around. So the first practice, this is why they changed qualifying from what it was last year, because it used to be
all the times combined.
All the times combined. Now it's inside row is group one, outside row is group two, because it was blatantly unfair. So same exact thing we saw with Bubba Pollard last week in the Xfinity race at Richmond. He was fast in practice. Then
the advantage of
first.
Practice is the biggest disadvantage in Q.
But what I take away from it is, okay, being your friend. You had a rough week in COTA. terrible week in Richmond. So like, I watch your demeanor, right? And it's like,
you're sucks.
Like, they're all the confidence is drained. Mm. Then you went to Richmond, you went to Martinsville. You didn't have a great day, but I felt like you controlled what you can control well. And the first thing is like, for me, I'm sure it's the same as you. After you have a bad week, like you just want to get back to the racetrack. So to get back to the racetrack and go P1 in practice,
you're thinking about this, right? If you have a bad day, if you have a bad shooting night and you're playing basketball, you can just like stay late at the gym and shoot more threes. Yep. You can go, if you have a bad night on deck in the batter's box, you can just stay and hit in the cage until yep. you're content. Until
and
you
gain
feel
the confidence
like,
back.
And get your confidence back, right? You can hit the curve. If you have a bad week, you can sim, but the tire's off and you get pissed off because you're not running well or whatever. And sometimes the simulator, you know, you look at half the Hendrick guys, they don't use the sim, but you can go practice. You can go do things with other sports where the only thing, the only time you get to have your confidence back is live time in a 20-minute practice session.
Yeah.
Which is good sometimes, but when it's bad, it can keep that cycle going of getting your confidence down. So combined with going out early, it was probably worth 0.2, give or take. I didn't hit a great lap. The front bit a little bit more than what I anticipated, and I just popped the curb on a money lap out of 2. So that was probably worth 0.1. That 10th, let me put it in context, right? So Zane qualified right in front of me. In terms of going out, he qualified 24th. That kept him on the lead lap the first run.
Yeah.
I qualified 32nd. Drove the 27th. I got lapped in addition to the car in front of me, then the lucky dog. So the difference of going a lap down that first run changes the whole day. Because then you have to start trying to figure out how to wave or get yourself in position like we were in that yellow. We took a wave. We were good enough to be the lucky dog. Wheels loose. You're buried two and a half laps down, and then your day's over.
Well, also, if you are – okay, so they reset the field. If you're a lap down, if you're on the lead lap, you start in front of all the lap down cars no matter where you're running on the track. Like if you are side by side with the leader, but you beat him back the line, you start in front of
15 lap cars,
so that gives you a buffer on the next run.
Yep.
So that's why
25th,
like you said,
is the buffer. That's like the line that the leader can get to over the course of a long green run. 80 to 110. Yep. So if you are underneath that 25th position buffer, if you don't have that buffer behind you, you will get lapped. But, you know, the end of the race, green flag stop, which how often do you see those? More often anymore. We'll probably get into that as well.
Our rear changer said that. When's the last time we did green flag stops in Martinsville? Last time we were here, dog.
Yeah, dude.
It's the new norm. So is that what this is? Is this you racing the 5 here, this first clip?
This is early. No, this is somewhat early.
It's the first stage?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is when you're trying to stay on lead lap.
Try to stay on lead lap. 5 gets a little tight. I feel like I was giving them some room. Generally want to give a bit more room to those Hendrick guys. We get their pit crews, and we get a little bit of help from those guys. Big weekend for those people. There was a red shirt. Anywhere you looked at the racetrack, they had 1,500 people there at the race celebrating that 40th anniversary.
I think you did what was right here, though. You gave him room, but you also gave him a bad angle. Like, you didn't crowd him. He got into you. You didn't give him a bad angle at all.
So right here, you know, it's a little bit desperation mode. Trying to stay on lead lap. So we go down. And then when you lose a lap, and even if you line up behind the lead lap cars, let's just say there's a couple times we were 24th, 25th in line, you don't want to be that guy that's jamming it in there three wide bottom or moving a lead lap car out of the way when you're a lap down. That's just like bad etiquette. So you get yourself in this box you have to race in, and then it just kind of starts the downhill effect. So that's like the frustrating part, is just nicking the curb in queue. The difference of running a 94, 95, a 1994 5 versus running a 2007.
So where'd you qualify?
32nd.
Where would you have qualified?
23rd.
Okay.
22nd, probably.
Yeah, and that's the difference. Yeah.
That's the difference.
How many cars did you pass? Like, where'd you get to in the first
28th.
Stage? So you only got past 4 cars? So
maybe 27. Me and the 17 were going. He was right in front of me right there in that clip. So the 17, he ended up finishing, I don't know, 13th, 14th.
You said you felt like you were better than 34, and he ended up 20th?
Yeah, but shoulda, coulda, woulda. We ran in front of him the whole last run. It legitimately, wherever you start a run, plus or minus 2 is kind of where you're going to run. So if you could somehow get wedged in with right side tires, a little bit of track position and bleed a couple spots, but maintain throughout the course of the run, and then re-rack it with four tires on a equal tire as everybody else, you could run 7th as easily as you could run 27th.
Well, that's where we kind of got lucky because we lost track position on the first pit stop because we had a loose left rear. We came back down. So when you come back down,
you give it all up.
You have to start last. Mm-hmm. Behind it, you have to start behind all the lead lap car, behind all the lap down cars, everybody. And then there was a caution, the second stage caution. We just did rights.
Yeah.
Because it ran out, which we did 4, came back in, tightened it, ran out. We did rights, got back to like 12th, and then we were able to maintain because it went green to the next stop. And Blaney, listening to the, it's so funny because like at Martinsville down there in pit stall 41, you keep your helmet on all day. So you, and like the way the sun was shining on the TV is like, I never really watched to see where we were all day. I was kind of worried about focusing on my stuff and make sure my equipment was ready. But just listening to it, I didn't think we were running very good. Because Blaney was like, we're freaking loose. We're not, you know, he just kept talking about, now we're tight, we lost drive. His feedback wasn't super positive. And then I look up and I'm like, with that green-white checker, I'm like, damn, we got a shot to win this thing. We were 5th.
Fifth, yeah.
Yeah, or we were 4th on the green-white checker. I was like,
he gets around there good.
We're pretty good, yeah. So and then Joey, I think, said in his post-race, Ryan was the only one passing anybody all day. There's a couple good in-cars of him just hanging it out sideways. But, yeah, he was going forward.
So, tough stretch for the old 7 team right now. It's hard to just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I mean, I was thinking about it this morning. Since Atlanta, Vegas, we were running good, got spun out with the 6 there. Phoenix got crashed in that Joey wreck. We go to Coda, qualify well, and get smashed into first lap and then ride around the rest of the day, pissed off. Richmond ran dead last, and then here. It's just really frustrating when the potential of what you feel like you're capable of and your team's capable of, you don't even finish anywhere near it. So,
do you feel like Noah Gregson has had a good start to the year?
I think he's had a fair start to the year.
Pretty good, though.
I mean, he was clearly the last or second to last place driver last year in that 42 car.
And he's had a pretty good start to the year.
I'd say he has a fair start to the year.
And you're ahead of him in points.
He got a penalty.
Yeah, but still.
He had a 30.
I mean, I know he got the penalty, but still, you're still ahead of him in points.
We're ahead of
right
there. People.
Who are you right behind? You're right behind Stenhouse.
Stenhouse. Ricky and I last week, we were debating starting a lawn mowing company after Richmond. That's how fun we both had.
I'd hire you guys.
Yeah, I think we could. I think I'd be the
actor. Actually, I don't know. I've seen Ricky wreck some I'd be nervous of the siding on my house.
I would probably drive the lawnmower, and I'd let Ricky weed eat if things get too bad.
Yeah, copy.
But things did get too bad for the 42 car. Was that the only caution of the day? Maybe there was another piece of duct tape on the road or something. But the 42 blew a right front. That was in the middle of a long green flag run. I thought my car was catching on fire at one point in time. The left front was smoking and smelled like straight burnt carbon fiber. Oh, no. Smart move, though. Just cranking a right because that's the last thing you think about. But he had enough time to think about it and just put it up against the wall so it wasn't a big old shot.
What's the picker guy do here?
That old girl there is burning down.
They didn't even jump. I was nervous, like, right at the end of that because I was like, then when the caution came out, I'm like, uh-oh, is this going to be another that wasn't a caution situation? And then Fedewa was like, yeah, he's up there, he's on fire. And I was
That was also a day where if somebody just got sideways enough, you'd be like, put it out. Let's just re-rack this thing. Let's get some restarts going and get people excited.
And that's a great point because like you said, you were listening to the teardown yesterday too. And you and I think we'll address this, right? We are on NASCAR's platform, right? And we are, I see the comments all the time, like NASCAR homers. Well, that's just kind of I wouldn't say that we're NASCAR homers because we're on their platform, but that's who we are as people. Like, we give the sport the benefit of the doubt and try to see it with clear eyes. Like, it's easy to jump down NASCAR's throat or the track's throat or sanctioned bias or anybody's throat and talk about how bad something is. But when you look at it clear eyes and try to understand why something is the way it is, that's what we typically try to do. That being said, we cannot let Martinsville keep going this way.
What do you do?
I mean, I don't know. It's not my job, but the left side, but being able to run 180 laps and win the second stage on left side tires is not right. Like that there's,
I don't think the answer is just like put more horsepower to it.
No, I don't think the answer is
that. It
would
hurt.
Listen, I don't think you're not going to have three wide racing at this place.
No.
But what you need to have some strategy. You need to have some comers and goers. Like even Richmond, everybody kind of talks about Richmond. Richmond's always been the same way to me, and it's still the same way. You have people coming, people going. Are you going to two stop it? Are you going to one stop it? Mm-hmm. That's the fun part. That's how Richmond's always been. Yeah. Martinsville has not been that way. And I was thinking about, there's a couple things that I miss from Martinsville, but you're not going to get them back.
Damage.
Nose not lining up. The nose not lining up so you can actually spin each other out.
Left rear tires being blown off.
When you run into each other and there's damage on the body, is the tire going to make it? Is it going to blow? Should they pit? Should they not? Uh-huh. Right? That you're not getting that back. But now when you guys run into each other, it doesn't do anything. It's like you just bounce. Boing,
like,
boing.
Yeah,
it's like Roblox. Like you just bounce off each other.
And it's like a slide hammer because there's no ride heights. There's no heave. There's no – It's you literally just hit the back bumper of somebody and it just shoots them forward.
Doink, doink.
Yeah.
That's it. And I hate that. So I mean, I don't know if you I'm going to open up Pandora's box. Let's hear it.
Open it up.
I was just going to say maybe you put a different rear bumper on that doesn't match up with the front. I know you hate that, but I don't care what the drivers think because they'll keep steering the ship in a direction where it's easier to drive, and I'll stand on that hill all day long.
Yeah, I think that comment right there, easy to drive, is relative, right? Because if it's easy to drive, then everybody else's car is easy to drive.
Yeah, I think that's the wrong thing. I would say that that's the wrong thing to say. Drivers will always push, rightfully so, for what benefits them and their team.
Oh, for sure.
I guess that's the way. I shouldn't say easy to drive, right? They will always push for what fits their wheelhouse, because like right now, if you're Rudy Frugal in the 24, you're like, no, I love it.
Right? Yeah, I love downforce package and tire.
So that's where it's tough to talk to them. But like listening to Denny Hamlin's podcast a couple weeks ago after Bristol, he said that he learned at a Texas tire test that they can put an additive in the tire that increases tire wear. So the best short track race we've had with this car is the one with the most parity at Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was a complete show for some people.
I thought it was great.
But it was great. And like, that's what I heard a comment yesterday from a new fan that went to the racetrack that said, man, we were excited to go to Martinsville, but I was sitting in the grandstands. It was kind of boring.
I wonder.
I don't want that.
I have a real pressing question.
Yeah.
I need to know.
Yeah.
I need to call Clay Campbell and figure it out, president of Martinsville Speedway. When there is no cautions, what is the hot dog sales like? It's got to be lower.
It can't be any better. Or people just go, all right. I'm just gonna go
or you dog. Go, I wonder if hot dog sales versus cautions is a relative linear trajectory. More cautions, more dogs. Or is it less cautions, more dogs?
If they've been a fan of this show for, if they, no, I don't eat them hot dogs. I only like.
Dude, why?
I'll tell you why.
I had three. I went with the intention to go get one. I ordered four, just for the sake of having them. And I put three down. Like, oh my god!
I don't eat them.
Like three bites per dog. Nine bites in total. And felt great. 10 out of 10 recommend a hot Martinsville dog.
So I only, like, I am a complete child. I only like hot dogs with ketchup. And I feel like, I feel like if I go to Martinsville and I don't eat it with, what was it, mustard slaw, chili, and I feel like if I don't eat it that way, then you're just not doing it right. So.
They are really pink.
Jesse Jones.
I don't feel like that is all natural. But it doesn't matter to me.
Dude, I'm just not doing it.
When's the last time you had a Martinsville dog?
Never. No, I had one like I don't know, probably 15 years ago.
Dude.
And I was like, check, moving on.
Did
with
you have
my
it with
life.
Ketchup or did you have it with All the Way?
I think I had it with All the Way. And I was just like, okay, I'm moving on with my life.
I thought
That's
we were
it.
Friends. What, I guess I was wrong.
Listen, if me not eating hot dogs makes us not friends, then I will go on a friend-finding app. But, I'm not eating them. So let's take me in a driver's seat, an objective driver. What fixes it?
You got to also think about multiple things, about what knobs are easiest to turn. There are some knobs that are there, but they are not touchable. It's like brake in case of emergency. Are we in the case of emergency?
What knobs can you not turn?
People want to say that the horsepower knob is there, but it is way over here, and they don't want to touch it. Partially because there's OEMs that are trying to get involved in the sport, which in my opinion, more OEMs coming into the sport would be more of a benefit to the sport than adding 150 horsepower if you were weighing between those two options.
That's been an argument for a long time, and I heard somebody say this the other day. It's been an argument for a long time, and there have been no new OEMs in.
I think there's some on the fringe. I don't know. I'm not in this conversation.
I'm gonna say this.
I
might regret it. I'm sick of hearing that.
So am I.
Because is it?
But
is
I understand.
It right at the detriment. It's like, is it at the detriment of the sport?
I would love to have 800 horsepower.
I'd love to have more OEMs, right? Yeah.
I think there's too much tire on the ground.
That's what it seems like. It seems like you get run into. It doesn't do anything. You don't get any body damage. And then when all else fails, you just downshift and drive away.
Yeah. So there's each tire is an inch and a half wider than Xfinity tires. Sidewalls are different as well. Sidewalls are smaller on a Cup Series tire than the Xfinity cars. So that's 6 inches more rubber on the racetrack of a Cup car compared to what it was.
And it's got way better suspension.
Way better suspension and heavier. So the Cup cars are 3,750, maybe even closer to 3,800 pounds with driver. Those things are absolute tanks. So when you combine similar horsepower, more rubber on the road, and a heavier car, your power to weight ratio goes way down. So with that, yeah, the sensation of having less power is there because it's trying to move more mass. So I wish we can just take a little bit of tire patch away. I feel like that would be.
How do you do it?
I got in this conversation with some people over at the R&D Center kind of recently about just making the tread patch narrower. But with the narrower sidewalls or the thinner sidewalls, now Goodyear has a boxer working it within with just air capacity. So if you make it narrower, it creates more heat. So I guess that, I don't know, not in the business of making tires or understand how that works, but I guess if you take air capacity away, it creates more problems for them for blowouts. I don't know. That's just what I was told, which might be their rehearsed thing of what the answer they're giving me. But I think if you take an inch and a half of tire patch away from each corner,
I would take 10 guys blowing tires and doing 8-10 pit stops at Martinsville, then running 180 laps on lefts and doing 2.5 pit stops. I would take that all day.
Would take that too. But Goodyear's not going to take that.
Well, but that's it's partly the drivers, and I'd go point straight at Tony Stewart.
That's what it is,
right? Like that time that Tony Stewart stood on the hill and called Goodyear out, and I think it was more than like what the it you gotta always think. It's like the Denny Marcus Smith beef this week, right?
Ooh, spicy.
There's always more layers than it just being Goodyear, right? Tony Stewart owned a couple series. He was really tight with a couple guys at Hoosier, yeah. Right? And like, there's all everybody always has a little bit more going on than face value. But you can directly look at, I can, as a race fan, at the Tony Stewart comments and Goodyear and that being an issue. That being said, everybody had Goodyear's back after Bristol. And yep. I also don't know if, like, I'm going to buy Goodyear tires for my truck just because I support people who support racing.
Yeah.
Right? Just like I'm going to go to anybody to buy something that's on one of these cars before I go to a competitor.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to the racetrack and say, oh, Goodyear tire sucks. You know, I'm going to go. Or a Goodyear tire lasted longer, Martin's, so I'm going to put Goodyear's on. I'm just going to support them because they support NASCAR.
Valid point.
So, I don't know, man. I just want to see. I know for a fact that this sport as a whole can fix problems very quickly if you let them.
Yeah.
The teams, NASCAR, the drivers, everybody can. If you give us a problem, like give us a Rubik's Cube and we'll figure it out.
I'm not very good at Rubik's Cubes.
You'd figure it out if you had to.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would like to see everybody band together and fix this problem before we go back in the fall. Because I think, you know, you start the talks.
There's no more downforce you can take off. I guess you can take away.
Downforce is it done.
Yeah.
I'm done with the downforce talk.
Yeah.
It's mechanical grip.
Yeah.
We're at a half mile track.
Yeah.
Right? That I don't want to hear anything else about downforce. There's nothing that you're going to do there.
Right.
I think it's smart that you take those diffusers off the back and just put an aluminum one on because there's, you know.
I think those are carbon.
Well, whatever. The big ones, they're simple. They're not. They're going to get less damaged. But I don't know. I think it's time that we, as an advocate for the sport, I think it's time that we took a deeper dive into, okay, we really need to fix this. Because the talk is now becoming taking dates away.
Yeah, I don't want that.
And what it was 5-6 years ago was, hey, we need to fix these mile and a half. So we need more short tracks.
Yeah.
Right? We have fixed the mile and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They are fixed. And now the issue is short tracks and road courses. So it's like, okay, we just need to figure out how to fix this program. And if it's a completely different, like, would you be opposed to a completely different package?
No. But the owners would be. They had to go buy it.
Second question. Does shifting affect this stuff that much? Would taking shift? I hear people talk about shifting. Would taking shifting out of the equation and just running fourth gear or fifth gear, would that change anything at all?
I don't think so. I think it'd be worse because you wouldn't be able to initiate a pass because the RPM range would be so far down they'd just be lugging.
Well, could you not get in the middle of fourth and fifth?
You should be able to put a drop gear in it that gets it up. I don't know. I don't know enough about that. I've been always on the side of I think that shifting is helping the issue of no power. So that's where I'm at with that. Without knowing
gear
ratios and all
that
stuff.
So you're saying that not having a power. So you think we need more horsepower?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we made the cars heavier. We put more tire on the ground, and we kept the same amount of horsepower. So we took a lot of horsepower ratio away.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
A little narrower tires, a little more horsepower would help the visual aspect of a short track.
Tire now more horsepower would
initiate wheel spin,
which would increase
tire wear. Yep. Which is what we're trying to do. Just take tire away, put a little horsepower to it.
Now, why are you hearing that the horsepower knob is untouchable?
I don't know. Just what I hear.
Because I think some of the smartest people in the sport build those motors.
For sure.
And I think if they said tomorrow, hey, we're going to Martinsville in the fall with 1,000 horsepower, they would have it figured out.
I think that number is kind of like, you know, the tooth fairy that just keeps getting embellished. You talk to some engine guys, and the most they used to go to the racetrack with was like 890, 900, maybe a good one. So that 1,000 horsepower is probably a little bit more than what Legend actually has.
Okay.
Anyways, you bump it up 120, it would be noticeable.
What are you at now?
Sub 7, 680 maybe.
I think we need to find a way to send you guys to Martinsville with 1,000 horsepower.
That'd be sweet.
1,000.
One of my first times in Martinsville, 2017, I was running the BK.
Wait, that
car.
Was before EFI? The last time we did it, like, I'm sure that they can get to 1,000 horsepower.
I'm sure. So I'm actually we're having a decent day with BK, and Jimmy Johnson gets behind me. I'm like, or he's lapping me, of course. And he passes me out of turn four. I'm like, all right, this guy's pretty good here. Let me watch what he does. And he comes off turn four and tank slaps it back and forth, laying black marks, left rear, right rear, left. He literally tank slaps it the entire way of the front stretch. Laying black marks the entire time, and then he like gathers it up and wraps the bottom in one and two, and then he's, you know, 7 car lengths ahead of me. I'm like, what did I just witness? Is that how you do it around here? I don't know. But yes, that I don't. Some would call it the good old day. Good old days. I don't know. But you don't lay black marks and tank slap it like that anymore. Down the front stretch of Martinsville. So I don't know. Maybe we need to. But we have a race to finish talking about, sir. So thank goodness John Hunter Nemechek blew a right front tire to re-rack this thing to give the fans a green-white checker, because there is no telling how bad the rating would have got of the race if we just finished it under green after, I don't know, what seemed like 55 minutes, an hour straight of just hitting your marks in Martinsville. My whoop was 3,800 calories yesterday. So those types of days where you're literally on the last run of the day, you're so focused, tires are worn, you're trying to hit your marks within probably an inch and a half, takes a lot of focus. So whenever you get a re-rack here at the end, you're like, oh my goodness, thank God, let's get a little breather here and go attack. A lot of guys elected to stay out. I think Denny came down. I think, what, Denny was running fifth. He probably was like, I can't win with the way we are right now. Let's just go put tires on it and see where we come back. I think he finished 11th.
Fourth. Which would have put him in the front two rows. I think he thought he was going to drag more with him when he came.
Yeah. There was only 13 cars on lead lap, maybe. So maybe he was hoping fourth on down would have came, but not the case. Hendrick cars, front row, 24. Chase Elliott, outside pole. Five doesn't get a great restart here.
12 car with an awesome restart. Pushed to nine, but
both used tires. You're trying just to get some drive here. The nine coming to the white, little doot-doot to the 24. Can't quite get the drive off four. 24 powers off. White flag here. They're wrecking. They're spinning out behind them.
Ooh. Yeah, that's what hurt us. I think we were gonna be good on the top.
Yeah, you could have rolled the best out of the five.
And the nine kind of rolled up in front of us, and it.
I wonder what
we lost two spots.
Danny, back that up. Into one and two, right there. I wonder if he was thinking to try to get to his right rear, but
that's what I think.
The grip wasn't out there.
Well, he never got far.
And I also don't think it didn't seem like he was going to give him another bump. He felt like once is enough. Let's make sure we get this thing.
You imagine if you're the guy. Home. You imagine if you're the guy that spins out your teammate.
In front of 1,500 people out of turn two, hospitality zone. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, on Rick's 40th, and then you take the five car with you, and the 23 squeaks by.
I mean, I think even though Rick might not have been there with his knee surgery, he probably would have ran his ass to Martinsville and shut up. That's probably what would have happened. I didn't. I got a little bit of damage. We were in a decent spot there, just trying to get it home. But I restarted, like, I don't know, 20th, which is the way it all shook out and where the guys who waved and the guys who pitted and all that. Anyways, all I saw was the yellow, bright yellow car get turned around, and something absolutely plowed my right front. And we were still good to go to the finish.
Oh, Kaz. Oh, Kaz got him.
The 10.
Did Kaz get him?
I don't know.
Replay that one more time.
Can't really see it.
Oh yeah, looks like Carson. No, go back again. The 15 is sheared off the bottom.
Ah,
maybe I don't. Hostvar was behind him, so he's always aggressive. And there's you.
Pow pow.
Oh, you were watching you. That's why you were saying the 10.
Yeah,
I was trying to figure out who spun the two car.
I was trying. Well, it was off the nose of the 10.
I saw that. It just disappeared out of my peripheral, and then I saw the two car come back by, and the nose is ripped off of it.
Hate it when that happens. Surprised that didn't happen a bit more often, actually. Yeah, it does look like the 77 was on the bottom of the 15, got in the left rear of the.
Keep going, the slow-mo chew. There.
Tink, tink.
Oh, where'd you pass it? Okay.
It's just hectic. Coming to the white, everybody's being aggressive.
Kaz Grail has been punching above his weight class.
He has been 15. Doing good.
He's been doing a good job.
Yep. Those Rick Ware cars have some speed.
Mm. Did that knock the wheel out of your hand?
Yeah.
You got up on the curb?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was finally glad the race was over. Just head on back home.
Get ready for Texas.
Get ready for Texas. Break the cycle, qualify decent, have a decent day. But, I mean, what more can you say about Hendrick Motorsports?
I got a question of the week here.
What you got?
Can the 24 get the double-digit wins this year?
No. Ugh. It's a big number, dude.
Dude, I'll tell you what. He's won at three different tracks already, a super speedway, a road course, and
I will say this. You listen to Willie B right now, and that's a confident fella, and he is mature, and he's the alpha over there at that camp right now.
Well, what I am impressed about is, like, Rudy was basically, they were terrible here in the fall.
Yeah.
And he said, we got to be better in Martinsville. We got to be better in Martinsville. Mm-hmm. No matter what, we got to be better in Martinsville. And they come in and they win the race. And they didn't qualify well. And it was a blue collar day. And they scratched and clawed and got track position and ended up winning the thing. That is dangerous, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. When they circle something on a schedule and they can go achieve it. There's not a place William Byron isn't good at. There's really not. He is turned into a complete driver. And it all seems right in a world when that 24 car gets it done in victory lane for the Hendrick anniversary. Jeff Bodine, Jeff Gordon, I believe, were the grand marshals of the race. Jeff Gordon was not in the driver's meeting. So when they called out, hey, Jeff Bodine, Jeff Gordon, hey, you know, round of applause. So Jeff was like, Jeff Bodine, I got something to say.
Jeff Bodine?
That never happens in the driver's meeting.
Jeff Bodine did?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's like, he just wrote a book or something maybe. Yeah. And he had like his little t-shirt on. And he grabs the mic from Weaver, and Weaver's like, what? And Jeff's like, hey, hey everybody, thanks for coming. Where's Jeff at? Where's Jeff? I don't see him. Jeff, where are you? Crickets. Everybody's like, what? What's he doing? And he's like, I got to say this. I don't know if I could do it these days. Look at these guys sitting over here. They're all in shape, good looking, and fast. Just different now. Y'all have a good day. Everybody's like, thanks for that little, you know,
saying,
that little breakup of the usual stuff that we normally watch.
I love it.
I got something to say. Give me that mic.
Well, he's earned it.
He has earned it. One of the few fellows that have, well, there's many fellows that have perpetuated that Hendrick dominance over 40 years.
Yeah.
How many championships they have over 40?
A lot. I think 18 or so, 16.
Almost half of their existence has been a championship team.
The amount of wins they have at Martinsville is like
29.
And I saw when William was leading, I put it up on the TV at one point in time, and it was like, laps led, 10,000, blah, blah, blah. And then it just kept clicking, boink, because William was leading. They just kept the clicker going. I was like, it was closer to 11,000 than it's not. I was like, man, them guys do it. A lot of clocks.
And Willie B's got that one chiming. Congrats to him.
So does he get on? Okay, plus or minus six?
He's
at
three
six
right
and
now.
A half.
Oh, plus over six. He's over seven.
Over seven, but under 10.
I think he's eight.
Okay.
I think eight is an absolutely stellar number, of a year.
I think four is a stellar number of a year.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, for some people, one.
Dog, tell me about it. I'd love to have one.
But, I mean, 10 is, like, that is rare company.
10. Yeah, I don't think
I mean, 10. Even though nobody thought we'd see 10 with the 5 car. Nobody thought we'd see 10 with the 4 car the year they did it. And
I could see it, though, with the previous car. This car, you just don't find that much of an advantage that carries over week after week after
he
week.
Has. That's why he's won the most out of anybody. Like, if there's anybody that has found an advantage with this car, it's the 2014.
And Hendrick, 1, 2, 3, certainly bodes pretty well for finding mechanical grip and some horsepower, and they've got
a lot of tools right now. Talking outside of Martinsville,
yeah,
right? Like, everywhere, William Byron's got the most wins at every different racetrack. Like, I don't know.
Jackson Storm, man.
Last thing I want to do is see him win 10 races, you know?
I don't think he's going to do it. I think he can win 7. That's why I took the over on 6.5.
Cool. Hey.
6.5, 2. Several right side tires, probably under 6.5 seconds. So we're going to break down a lot of pit road boats and woes right after this.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Brian Flores. Join Kim Kuhn and myself each and every week at Around the Track. We'll get you ready for the upcoming race weekends, from short tracks to the Cup Series, whether you'll be attending in person or watching from home.
Coming your way each week is the best bets to win some easy money and driver suggestions to help pump up your fantasy lineups. Around the Track also tells you what to watch for in the NASCAR Regional Series and which young phenom drivers to keep your eye on.
Plus, our At Traction segment gives you all the fan activities, concerts, and tailgating fun at the track. Be sure to check out Around the Track each and every Wednesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
And we're back for some pit road boats and woes. Seven car had a woe. My boys have been solid all year. Little hiccup on the old right front of our car. And what are the chances that the tire gets hung right on those drive pins and gets tightened up enough to where you can kind of ship it and think it might be okay?
If it's flat on the drive pins, it's you're not getting the nut on it. But what can happen is if the tire gets put on and it dings one of those, it can be a slow run up, which it happened to. I watched it happen to the 16. It happened on the left rear. It happened to us. It happened to the 20. Theirs was a slow run up.
Yep.
I heard the 71 had a loose wheel. It happened a lot last week in Richmond. A lot of people staying there, tightening their right rears. There's something about super speedways or
short track.
Something about short tracks. I don't know if it's the camber, so it makes the gun angle different. I don't know if it's the brake dust and it gets in the threads. I don't know if it's the heat. But it tends to happen more at short tracks, and there was a ton yesterday. Like I said, it bit us. I think what happened with us on the first stop was that a piece of aluminum from the wheel got into the threads, and the nut just labored. And you're used to, you know, 2/10 from the time you hit that till it's tight. So if it chatters a little bit and you don't stay with it, it comes off, unfortunately.
Can't have it come off. I guess it was, it certainly wasn't a blessing, but it was the least bad possible way that could come off. Coming to the green right by pit road entrance.
I was thinking about that. I think it would have been better if it happened under green, because then you have the caution. Like, that's the worst time to pit.
Yeah.
Because you're coming, as they're coming to green, you come to pit road, then they take the green, and
they're at speed, and then you just kind of flounder around. And then it just takes all the wind out of your sails, and you're like, okay, here we go again. So we will get the whole ship righted.
I have no doubt that you will. And going to Texas and then Super Speedway, hell, you might win in the next 2 weeks, then you'll forget all about this.
Oh, and you'll forget all about it, then we'll just party for a month straight and then see where all the dust settles.
I got a day.
What you got?
I got a day of partying for you, and then I can get back to work.
All right. I think we can get it done in a day. We can get a lot of stuff
done.
We'll find out.
There was not many pit road parties this weekend. A lot of woes, and the 47 is the first one here. We got a clip of them spinning.
So I saw that. I saw the in-car camera of the 9. I feel like that's on Alan a little bit. You're at the mercy of... Good save by the gas man there. He just kind of sat on that right front headlight. Okay, here we go. Spin around. Back it up. What are we doing?
Well, Donlin's like standing there. It's almost like he needs to go where Donlin was standing.
You're just, it takes you a second to be like, okay, where am I at? What am I doing?
They just sent him back out. That's smart.
Yeah.
Because you'll go a lap down there pretty quickly.
For sure.
Tab, not happy.
Yeah, I believe that's on whoever calls the 9 out of the box.
Well, is this the same view? Let's watch it. It's bang bang here, man. This is, I will say, those guys not getting hit, that is why we have pit road speed. That is why pit road speed is monitored. But yeah, like from 40,000 feet, you blame it on Allen. blame it on Chase, but there is a lot going on when you're pulling out of the box, you're watching your lights.
Chase can't see that guy coming.
I know you're not going to blame it on a driver. I know that. But if it, but he hit the 47 in the back bumper and spun him out. So if there's anybody who's getting a ticket on the interstate, it's Chase. I will say pit road in Martinsville, super tight. That was
more cars are on pit road at the same time as ever.
Heads up call by those guys. Just send them back out. Take your lumps. Come back down the next time. That way you don't lose a lap. So happy nobody got hurt. Moving on, 54 and the 8 had an issue as well.
A little log jam right here. 54 coming out on 2. Sharp angle. Drives right into the left rear of the 8. Look at that cluster. Whoa.
Yeah. That's Martinsville in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. If you don't qualify well, look at Braxton. His right sides. So, if you go back to that, and you look at the Jackman. So they have an issue. Braxton puts the right front on. It looks like Jackson. Jackson has a problem there. See Braxton kind of looking around. He's also looking as he see how he's looking towards the back of the car. He's watching the traffic coming at him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get hit. Braxton's a veteran of the sport. We saw this a couple of years ago at a super tight pit road, Indianapolis.
It ended my day one time at Martinsville coming out of the pit box at.
Ripped the nose off your car.
Yeah, ripped the nose right off.
But like Indianapolis a couple of years ago, the rear changer on my car now, Zach Price, they were doing right sides. So what happens when you do right sides is the Jackman's very vulnerable because you stand on the right side of the car as it leaves. So Zach actually got hit. I think it was Brennan Poole, remember, back in the day, and it broke his leg. So you could see Braxton, just the absolute professional, looks at Jackson. Jackson obviously had I don't know if he lost a nut or missed his button, but he's fixing his right front. Braxton's checking off on the stuff that's coming towards him, checking off on Jackson, and then drops the car at the right time. And there's a lot going on. 38.
Brought some stuff with him. Can't do that.
Oh, hey, man, this is an advertisement for flow coating. We powder coated that wrench.
It looks good, too.
Look at that.
Surprised it going that fast. It's not flaking right off.
So these are our guys. I actually watched this morning. That's not nice. That is premium powder coat. Will not flake. They come. This is a different stop because you see the wedge wrench is already in there. This is when they came back in. You got a little too close to the wall and Ty couldn't get the car. But what happened right here is Tao just had a little bit of trouble pulling the right rear. And they were a little late on the right rear adjustment. Fun fact about that team, Tyler Jackman, his first time going to the racetrack ever was Phoenix this year.
Ever?
Ever. Okay. He's only been in our building for about a year.
Where'd he come from?
Hot Springs, North Carolina.
I don't know where that's at.
Hey, but he's going to be a blue chip guy for sure. So it's been cool to see those guys' progression. It's a bummer that they have a little bit of a setback there, but it definitely a teachable moment for them. Move on to the 20 car, losing a right front lug nut. Now these guys have been one of the best pit crews for the last year and a half. Blake Houston front changer, I've been watching. That's where I saw him. Like, yeah. What we were talking about before we like hit the fence. Right here,
this is late. Oh yeah,
no, let's see, there it goes. So Clint Bowyer is like, tie rod's broken. That's exactly what I thought.
You could see, I could understand why he thought it was tie rod, because the wheel wasn't attached to the upright and it was just yanked.
I've never seen one, like I've seen them come off and kind of fall on the upright.
Yeah.
And like you said, the lower control arm bolt will cut that wheel in half, which is probably what happened to you as well.
Yep.
But when I watched him come in, I'm like, man, that thing's, did he hit something? And then I watched Blake pull the wheel off without taking the nut off. And I was like, oh no.
What's the penalty again if it falls off on the racetrack?
2 weeks now.
Okay.
2 weeks suspension, but it didn't fall off and they got it fixed, but it definitely ruined their day.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you like the Gibbs car, there's a lot of speed and just coming back in, flying and hitting that nut. And if there's the least little bit of crap on the studs or a hang, like you said, that gets hung up on the pins a little bit and that nut doesn't get there right away, that's what happens. So
and that's all it takes.
Certainly they're a great pit crew. That's a small setback. Hopefully that is just a minor setback for them. But talking about a team that's had a lot of setbacks this year, the three car. And I think in
the
sports,
Flying Aces.
Hey, the Flying Aces, the Junkyard Dogs, they got more nicknames. but what they do, I'll give them another nickname.
And get you tickets.
I'll give them another nickname this week.
The Dogs?
Dogs of the Week. So here's what I'll say about them. They were P1 on our sheet for the day. And in sports, playing to the level of your competition is a real thing. We see that quite a bit. On pit road, it's also a thing to where when your car's not running good, you see the pit crew not do as well. And then you see pit crews step up when it's time to win the race. So you kind of call it playing to the level of your car, right? Some guys don't pit well when their car's running bad. Some guys pit really well when the car's running good. What's hard to do is when you are struggling, nothing's going right. They just had a crew chief change last week. It seems like on-track performance is just
tough.
It's tough, and they're in a rut. But the pit crew came, and they showed out. And they did, I saw three or four of their stops. I don't know how many they did, three or four, but they were all in the nines, which is hard to do at Martinsville. They had a great day. And even though they had lost power steering, and lost power steering, even though they were damn near last all day, those guys rocked it out in the pit box, which is hard to do, to kind of block out the noise and just have great stops. They've shown time and time again they're a really good pit crew. They do again this week, and for the first time this year, it's not the 11 or the 24, so kudos to those boys up, and welcome the three team Dogs of the Week.
Congratulations. It's a big honor for those guys. What do you got? We'll take a little break. We'll do some Penny for Your Thoughts questions. Had a good one, a couple good ones fired off this week, and a great Penny Stacker of the Week as well. Coming right up after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Join Todd Gordon and myself each week for NASCAR Inside the Race. We'll break down exactly how the race was won.
Plus, we'll dive into the data and go in depth on race strategies, penalties, and rule changes.
Catch NASCAR Inside the Race presented by Consumer Cellular each Tuesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
And we're back. I haven't had a clear Penny Stacker of the Week, like a clear favorite, in a while. But Michelle from New York is Penny Stacker of the Week this week. And her husband drove down from New York, Hudson Valley. Not sure where Hudson Valley is.
Probably by the Hudson River.
I'd say so, too.
Probably the valley right next to it.
Or in it, maybe. But nonetheless, they drove from there to Martinsville. I assume that's a long ride. Not very good geography, as you guys know. And they were in a tent.
Oh, camping in a tent.
Yes. Thugs, dude. Because it was like 30 degrees at night there. It was a little chilly.
They are living.
She had tie-dye, custom-made, Core of the Joy shirt, whole thing. Making it a camping weekend. So, Michelle from New York, you are the Penny Stacker of the Week.
Great job.
Yeah, haven't had a clear favorite for that in a couple of weeks, so thanks for taking the cake on
This had to be an inside job. Before the first stop, get up on the wall right where I stand, look down the pit box, there's a heads of Penny sitting there. Wasn't there all day before.
What happened?
I was like, man, maybe somebody came and put that there. Then we had a loose wheel on the first stop, so I appreciate you guys giving us a heads up, Penny, but I think that one was tainted. It had been tails up at some point in time.
Yeah, probably had.
Is it tails up, Penny? Bad luck.
I think it's all in what you think of it, man. You can pick a tails up, Penny, and think it's great luck, and it might be your
home, where you make it.
Home and where you make it.
Home. Everybody know that.
Everybody know that. So, yeah. I'll definitely pick up heads up, Pennies.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'm picking up tails up, Pennies.
I don't know. If you watch Grease, it says, see a penny, pick it up all day long, you have good luck. It doesn't tell you what side.
Doesn't clarify? I'd say heads up, though.
I don't know. I don't know what to think, but I know there's a lot of penny for your thoughts questions.
And I got some thoughts.
Okay. Let's go with the first one. Should NASCAR teams have a mentor process of cup drivers advising the drivers in the lower series?
That makes me laugh.
Let me hear it.
I don't know.
Makes you chuckle.
It makes me chuckle. Because there's, I think I saw on Reddit the other day, it was a interview of Denny Hamlin talking about how the guys in Xfinity, talking about Keselowski at the time, this is like 09 maybe.
He'll never be a champion.
How inexperienced Xfinity guys, there's a reason why they don't race in the Cup Series or too inexperienced to race against Cup drivers or something, and Denny's in an Xfinity race at the same time. So that made me laugh. So that's been like just the age-old argument. Obviously, Denny was proved wrong in this instance. Keselowski turned out to be pretty good. But the mentor process, I don't know. I think you can go – there's mentors that have been before you. There's guys that are willing to help. I don't think active Cup drivers, unless they really care to, or I'm in my opinion, I would ask questions to those guys. I would ask questions to Harvick. I'd ask questions to Jimmy. And those guys would give me their thoughts and opinions and answer it any time of the day when I would ask. But I don't think that we need to structure some sort of like, hey, you're paired up with this fella. And you got this guy. And just the etiquette of Xfinity and trucks have changed, and you just have – it's just what it is, man. Guys are coming in paying $100,000 a race for a truck, $125,000 a race for a truck, and they get what they pay for, and they're going to get their money's worth. And that usually means we're all running all over somebody, which is – seems the 52 has been in the on the receiving end of a lot of blows. And we're going to listen to the audio of that in a second because I don't want to cut off these penny for your thoughts questions. But it's been funny that I don't know why he just wrecked. Let's just go. We already got
a
key.
This is a beef of the week. Let's go.
Beef of the week.
Stuart Friesen. Stu has been.
I get wasted. Every week. You waste by everybody else except for me. I don't waste you. He pissed you. You're not better than him. Now you touched my truck.
You're absolutely right. Right.
You're supposed to be better than that. Fucking kids. You're supposed to be better.
You're absolutely right.
Timmy's mad.
Timmy Hill was right.
Yeah.
So, what I like.
I just saw Stewie spin the 56 out after the checker.
So,
but
what
he was
saw,
talking about something in three.
What I saw there was I've utmost respect for Stuart Friesen. I have a ton of respect for Timmy Hill. Timmy Hill's been around a long time. You could say what you want about him. He's been racing a long time. He's figured out how to make a living doing it. And he is a very respectable guy.
Yep.
Stuart Friesen is one of the best dirt modified racers ever do it. Hardcore racer. Stuart is used to winning a lot. They have had a lot of shakeups at their truck team. They pretty much fired everybody, cleaned house. He's doing it himself. He gets wrecked every week. He has. I think at COTA, he said something along the lines of, this is a waste of time and money.
On the radio.
Like, he was frustrated.
Yeah.
That frustration boiled over Martinsville, and much like what you saw with Martin Truex getting mad at the end of the race, smashing into everybody, I think that's kind of what Stuart Friesen did. Unfortunately, when
Timmy
he
Hill's
smashes
in,
but here's the difference. When Martin Truex smashes in the back of the five, of the whoever's around him, there's 400 people at those shops to fix their cars, right? And they just get in the plane and go home.
Yeah.
Timmy Hill's got to go fix this stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where Timmy Hill, and what I like there is Timmy went up to him and said, what are you doing? And Stuart said, every freaking week I get run into. And he was kind of playing the card of like, I don't want to hear it. And that's when Timmy, not by me. And you saw Stuart Friesen's face change. Like, he's right.
Yeah.
And I respect that because Stuart then said, hey, man, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And they both had reasons to be mad, and they settled it.
Without fisticuffs.
Truck Series, dude, it's got to be tough, though, to be like a 40-year-old dude racing in the Truck Series as a racer and then just get run over by these kids.
17-year-old
going
kid.
Back to the mentor stuff, right? It's tough it's tough to mentor some of these kids when they know everything, too.
That is true.
So, I don't know. I understand Stewart's frustration. Totally understand Timmy Hill's frustration, but he's got to go back and fix it. Like he said in his post interview after that, Now we got to go put a bumper on this thing. We got, you know, that's a lot of work
for a truck for sure.
For probably two or three guys that are working on a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then not only it's got to fit the templates, right? They're not KBM that are just sending it down the road, or Spire that are sending it down the road to get a who does their bodies?
Painter.
So like Jerry sent it to Jerry Painter to go get the body done. They get it back and put some decals in it and
yeah, go and it's race. Good to go again.
That, you know, it's that's real working man frustration right there.
That is. Two grown men fellas, big mad.
Let's go to our Instagram.
Let's do pain for a couple more pain for your thoughts. Glad we got into beef. Was there any beef post race of the Xfinity race?
I don't think so. I was happy for Eric Amarillo.
Me too. Talked to him on Sunday. I believe he's going to come in tomorrow. We're going to record a little half hour interview for you guys, a little extra bonus episode. I don't know if that'll be next week or just a standalone episode, but tune in for that. Eric will break down his just little venture for Gibbs at the moment and his clock winning weekend in Martinsville.
I won't be here.
You'll be here in spirit.
Filming around the track, which you can catch on Wednesdays.
Yep.
So let's go to let's catch your penny for the thoughts right now.
Yep.
Quick answers. Jacob B. Reed, what do you feel is harder to do at Martinsville, passing cars or getting out of your pit stall?
Passing cars is way harder than getting out of your car.
Okay.
You just rev it up and drop the clutch.
Mikey Likes, what do you think of a Hard Knocks type show with the pit crews? I think it'd be cool, but I think it should involve the whole team, pit crews, road crew, everybody. I think there's a lot there, and I think that there's been some talks about it. Be cool. I really like the all or nothings with like the soccer teams. I don't really love soccer, but I really get into that. So I think it could kind of peel back some layers. I get a lot of questions. What's your week look like? What do you guys do during the week? So it would open that up. What legendary car would you want to be a pit member of? Oh, I did a video with Amy yesterday.
What'd you do?
Hey, send in your penny for your thoughts questions. That's why.
Oh, that's why you get so many.
Legendary car, 21 car. I did that. Changed tires with Leonard Wood holding pit sign.
That's cool.
So mark that one off. That was really cool. Got the 99th win with the Wood Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
If you could be on an old school pit crew, would you be Wood Brothers guy too?
Oh, for sure. Or on the three. You know, like that one.
Kirk Shelmerdine.
Yeah,
right,
I'd be wearing a jean jacket too, just hitting 12 off, 7 on.
There, when they did like the photo shoot.
For a blast in 18-7.
They
stop.
Called themselves the Junkyard Dogs, and they did like the photo shoot sitting in the junkyard, and like Chocolate had like a chain around his neck.
I'd be in there.
Dude.
That would be fun. I think I'd be a carrier. I'd probably be the catch can.
Yeah.
I'm more of a catch can fella.
Hey, I want to ring. My I head. Ring.
Yeah, it's good.
The last catch can pit crew challenge winner ever, I won $10,000 in a ring.
Hey.
So just putting it out there. I'm not saying I was the best to ever do it, but I'm not saying I was the worst. Or I'm not the best. Favorite pre-race meal?
Kind of whatever's in.
Cat's Chef Kitchen. Chef Andrew,
Andrew's Kitchen. R-Dub Grill. Some sort of vegetable and chicken and rice. Probably.
Remember when he had us eating kangaroo at Dover that time?
No.
You didn't have any?
I don't remember.
Try this. I'm like, what is that? He's like, it's kangaroo. I'm like, this is weird.
No.
He's awesome. Andrew's
awesome.
Yeah,
shout out Andrew.
And we have Kapinski. We have Cat's Kitchen, so usually chicken and rice.
Yeah. Not very many options. Or three dogs.
Oh, here's one from Genesis 19. As a Corey fan and a mom of four little Corey fans, we want to know how are Kelly and the baby doing? Kelly's pregnant.
Yeah, she is pregnant AF at the moment. Early June, it's coming. She's very uncomfortable. It's like she's got a watermelon strapped to her stomach at the moment, and it's moving around. It's kicking. She's super uncomfortable. Just counting on the days till that little fella's here. So we're excited about it.
Three boys. Yep. God bless.
Yeah.
When
send prayers.
Broken Arrow Bourbon, big advocate for the show here. When Corey gets his win this year, what is the celebratory drink of choice?
I don't know. Whatever's handy.
Whatever they have in Victory
whatever
Lane
they
first.
Have Victory, probably Busch Lights, Busch Lattes, and then whatever else is handed to me. I don't know. I just haven't been drinking very much. Even when I've been in like, I just need a little glass of wine or bourbon or something, I'm just drink a Topo Chico, man. Feel good. But I'll probably pull the pin when that day comes.
here's a question, but I already know the answer to this. Where would you place the grandfather clock if you want Martinsville? We both have Martinsville clocks, and they're both in kind of our office room.
Yeah, I got one from the modified race. It's just in, like, our little dining room area.
Fun fact.
I would find another spot.
Corey was getting yelled at by a well-known, respectable
X-Cup Series
owner in Victory Lane, and I was kind of trying to get out of the middle of it, and Corey told him to come up on stage and wind my clock.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I am getting out of here.
It needs winding. Maybe that'll be a little confidence booster to, like, remind myself that I can do it, just wind the clock. But nonetheless, I would love it. The old black cowboy hat this weekend at Texas. That'd be pretty cool. Try to shoot for that. Ran well at Vegas. I think a lot of the setups are similar from Vegas to Texas. We had some speed there. But before we move on to that, we wanted to start introducing a NASCAR 101, or NASCAR for dummies, if you will. And the topic and the buzzword this week was shifting, because there has been a lot of positive talk, a lot of more so negative talk about shifting. What is it? If we're going to dumb it down and explain it to my four-year-old, what is shifting? It's when you downshift, like any other car, it goes higher in the RPMs to get it closer into the range of torque where the horsepower is made and to get off the corner. And at Martinsville, you shift four times a lap. So you downshift and you upshift every corner. All of the engine manufacturers have now figured out what they call flat shift or swole, a bunch of different acronyms, but essentially you just floor it and then you get up into the shift point and it cuts timing, and then you put a little pressure on the shifter and it falls right in. They were working on that. I was like the guinea pig when I drove the 9 car. That was the first time they were experimenting with it, and it wasn't quite dialed in there, so it was a little bit to wrap my head around. So they've got a clean way up. And you run side by side with anybody, a Toyota or a Ford, and everybody's on a flat shift program right now. You still have to blip it a little bit to downshift, but every upshift, you just put a little pressure on the shifter. And when it gets to where it wants to shift, it'll cut timing. And for a split second, they say it's worth about 2 feet, 2.5 feet of the difference of naturally blipping it falling in versus cutting timing. So it's worth a little bit.
So 2.5 feet?
Yep.
So over the course of a race, if it goes green, how far would that be? Let's do the math.
I don't know.
So 400 times 2 plus 2. Oh.
Is your math as good as my geography?
2,800 feet during a race. I wonder how.
It's probably worth, let's just say, 2 hundredths, maybe a little less than that a lap. But, yeah, you stack all those pennies up, and it's worth it. I thought I was going to get a shout-out from William Byron. Did you hear his post-race media presser? He just kept talking about stacking things on top of each other.
How about there was a truck with stacking Denny's on it? There's a podcast named Stacking Denny's?
Yeah. Be expecting some paperwork. You're going to be served.
Yep.
Trademark infringement, bro.
Hey, man, they say the best the highest form of flattery is,
yes.
What is it? Getting copied. I don't know. What the hell it is.
Yes. Is, I don't know, copying, ripping us off. I don't know. I might check that thing out. I'm losing some steam here.
Toot toot.
Yeah.
What grinds your gears, man? That people trying to.
I had a moment this weekend that kind of ground my gears, and I've been wrestling with it a little bit.
Imitation. The highest form of flattery is imitation. There it is. Let's go. I didn't even look that up.
Imitation is the highest form of flattery. That was the thing.
Say it however I want.
Yeah, but you had me all discombobulated. So I understand when gate guards, they have a job to do. When they're in their little meeting and there's, 100 of them huddled up, there are certain barriers and places where they can't allow certain people with certain credentials to come in. So there is a prominent lady who covers the sport week in and week out. She's from Charlotte. I'm walking in Sunday morning. I got my coffee. I'm feeling good. Walking in here. And she has this wagon, like one of those blue wagons you take your kid to the beach in. She's got tripods and cameras and like a full cart, right? She's got a hard card. Apparently, this fella, the gate guard, his job was to not let any hard cards, unless you're on a golf cart. A golf cart can go through with several hard cards on it. But if you were on your feet and you had a hard card, you had to go through the tunnel.
Yeah.
Unless you're a driver, and then you can walk across the track. I'm walking
yeah,
with...
Yeah, so let's let the people that do the least
yes,
walk across the track.
Yes. So this lady, doing her job, trying to cover the sport, is walking right next to me. We're talking. Hey, good morning. How's it going? Yep. It's going to be a good day. Yada, yada, yada. Ma'am, you have to bring your heavy-ass wagon down them stairs, through the tunnel, up the other side of the stairs to go get to the same place I'm going to be. So I said, hey, give me your wagon, and I'll bring it across the track. No, you can't bring her wagon across the track.
What's this guy getting? What's this guy, an Eagle Scout? What's he getting, a medal for this?
I don't know.
Merit badge?
I'll be ripping that merit badge off.
So wait, he didn't let you bring it across the track?
No.
What?
Yes. My gears were ground.
My good sir, you are a loser.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're doing your job well, but if he wouldn't let you take her wagon across the track.
It really ground my gears down to barely.
Common sense has just flew the coop at that point in time.
That's what really grounds my gears, is when certain things just aren't considered.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Well, I'm fine. I was doing all right, but now my gears are ground too.
Yeah.
It's injustice.
It is. I just don't like that. Use some common sense and just, you know, look like, don't do that.
So I still can't understand the fact that
if you are a driver,
you're allowed to walk across the track.
No. Well, if you were walking next to me, I would be allowed to walk across track, and you would have to go walk your happy ass back, stand in a line of 200 people and walk through the garage or walk through the line through the tunnel.
Even if there wasn't a line, though.
But if we were on a golf cart, I could have had 7 people on that thing and cruised right in.
I'm sure there's reasons for the rules. Like I said, I want to try to understand. But the fact that they're just like, oh, you're a driver, go ahead and walk across. All these schmucks that have to push tires and set the pit boxes up and do the, actually walk around all day. No, you guys go under the earth and back up.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
So I guess that's 2 questions for Clay Campbell. Are hot dog sales related to how many cautions the race has? And
I hope that you're wrong. I hope that that's we are oversighting something there.
I witnessed it with my own 2 eyes. And my gears were ground instantly at 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay, that's enough. We're going to go right the ship, put the sails up, and we're going to keep on trucking through the storm this weekend.
I'll let you wear my hat.
No, I don't want your hat. I'm going to get my own damn hat.
You can come wear my hat.
I don't want your hat.
I think we're going to win.
Probably so. You guys are pretty good at Texas.
You can come wear my hat.
I don't want your hat.
Okay.
It's your hat. I need to go get my own hat. Now we're going to try this weekend and let her rip. But before you guys do that, whether you're watching on YouTube, fire up some Penny for Your Thoughts questions on the comments or SiriusXM Channel 90. Got a lot of great comments from people that are enjoying on that. And also wherever you find your podcast as well. Make sure you follow us, rate us, review us, do all the things, even if it's 1 star. But don't give us 1 star because I'll come find you. That's all I got. Thanks for stacking pennies. Goodbye.